Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are, Spike's Car Radio, down in Hangar 5. If you've ever wondered about my production company, Hangar 56, it's really Hangar 5 and 6. Hangar 5 being my hangar, my production partner, John's hangar is Hangar 6. And I'm here with Ant Anstead and Jensen Button and the new Radford 622. Gentlemen.
Yay!
Keep that mic up to your mouth. First of all, thank you for bringing this car to me. I wasn't able to come down to Orange County to see your big premiere. Tuxedos and celebrities and beautiful cars. But Matt Farah, the Smoking Tire, took some great pics and I could follow along. But I felt like I missed out on the big premiere of this car. And I got a call last week and said, would you guys like to have the guys down? Of course, we'd always like to have these guys on. But they're going to bring the car and the car is here right now.
There's that saying, isn't it? If you can't bring Muhammad to the mountain, you bring the mountain
you
to Muhammad, and here we are.
And
exactly.
You also brought Top Gear. Is it Top Gear magazine or Top Gear the TV show? What's shooting out here too?
It's for an article.
It's for what?
For an article for the magazine. Yeah.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to have you guys here. I'm excited to talk about this car, and I really what I want to do. I mean, I could interview you both about your careers and get into all that stuff. You're, you know, distinguished in television, in racing, Formula One champion. But I really want to take the listeners to the beginning of the Radford story and how this came to be. So, Ant, do you want to start? Who wants to start? Who's the guy? Where does this...
let's go back to the beginning.
Where does this project begin?
Well, we should first of all brush over the fact that Jensen was world champion. Because it doesn't count, right? It's all about Radford.
Doesn't mean anything anymore. Radford's just the only important thing right now.
I would imagine what it means is you're going to drive this car and you're going to sort it.
Oh, I have driven this car.
Yes, okay.
Quite a bit, and a lot of it naked. But anyway, we're going to... Not me personally naked. The car was naked. It had no body on it.
It's not that sort of show, guys.
No, Johnny Lieberman does a lot. Take me back to the story. You guys are, you know, you're going on with your lives. You're doing whatever you do, and do you get a phone call? And who's it from, and what happens?
Well, it started off, actually, as there was a TV show building a car over 12 weeks called Master Mechanic, and the show did really well on Motor Trend and Discovery, and the network started to ask, you know, what does Master Mechanic Season 2 look like? So I was having a conversation with Lotus because of, you know, I've noticed that history is back. OEMs are now remaking old cars. Aston, Jaguar, Bentley. So there's something in it. The world's come full circle. So I approached Lotus and said, hey, are you guys going to do a historic car? If not, why not? You're 73 years old. You've got some great back catalogue. You know, Lotus revealed that their ambition was to go electric, which they've now publicly revealed, and know that they weren't. And quite cheekily said, well, would you mind doing one with me? And that led to a chain of events where I then got in contact with a car designer called Mark Stubbs, another Brit living in Laguna Beach, and said, hey, Mark, do you want to help me with this Lotus project? We'll build a couple. And then one afternoon, Mark and Mark was doing some rendering, and he left his laptop open, and on the laptop was an old Mini, but made new with the Radford branding. And I said, "Whoa, is Radford coming back?" Because obviously I knew Radford Ur. And he dropped the massive bombshell that he'd acquired the Radford brand some years ago and was kind of tinkering away in his spare time, messing around with a Mini.
And where did he acquire it? Like a flea market? Where?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was found under his nan's pillow.
Where was the Radford brand at that point?
It was actually, he teamed up with a barrister in London that right. Had set about, and we're talking over a decade.
Yeah, yeah.
With a view to eventually doing something in the Mini world, because, of course, Radford was famous for Minis.
Right.
And I said, Mark, this is not Master Mechanic Season 2. This is Radford Season 1.
Right.
What are we missing? Now, at the time, there was a chap called Roger, one of our partners, is a lawyer. Roger's in the media space and, deals with brands. And, between Mark, Roger and I, we started to conjure up what does Radford look like. And JB and I were friends, and it was Jensen was the missing part of the puzzle. So while it was all a kind of a dream of an idea centered around, you can tell this is a real car podcast.
Oh, you're gonna hear planes, jets, helicopters, and what do we have over there?
Cadillac, what a terrible color.
CT5. Well, there's quite a bit of wild colors here, but
sounds like stones in a baked bean tin.
Yeah, right.
That's one color of your guys.
So what sort of started out as this hypothetical dream very, very quickly, and we're not talking long ago, 18 months, 24 months ago.
That's what it seems like,
right?
It
was like, let's do it. Let's build a Radford.
And this Radford brand, forgive me, because I don't know much about Radford at all. What exactly was that?
Well, what I love about you, Spike, is that you're so thoroughly researched that you've come
I'm
here.
Not, no.
Okay, well, okay.
I'm
so
not
for the lazy podcast host.
But I will tell you, my listeners, I try to translate cars to mainstream listeners. I'm not, I don't have a Leno audience, drilling down on
engine
parts. Yeah,
that's another code for lazy.
No, it's people like, who don't know so much about cars, and you're trying to make it a little accessible for them.
And you're supposed to be telling the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Spike's
tell
not supposed
the story.
To be telling the story.
Yeah.
For those listeners that can't actually see, Spike is currently wearing pajamas, laying down in a chaise longue, and some sort of dressing gown.
Yes. But Radford.
Right, Radford. Go back to the beginning. Radford was a British coach-building brand founded in 1948 by a guy called Harold Radford. The launch was at the Earls Court Motor Show with a Radford-bodied, coach-built Rolls-Royce. And then over the decades, Radford worked with some of the big names in the car world. But it had most notoriety around the 60s, where it became an aftermarket Mini builder. So it made very luxurious Minis. And, every member of the Beatles owned a Radford. Enzo Ferrari owned a Radford. Steve McQueen, Stirling Moss, Britt Eklund, Twiggy. So it had all this kind of huge celebrity clientele.
And clientele,
right? And
garage
and clientele. And
but see, this is great. And you've opened up this whole brand to me.
Yeah,
Britt Eklund.
And a lot of people don't realize
Paul McCartney had one. I know that.
Yeah, right. Lennon, McCartney,
but
Ringo.
Most people think of just the Minis, but there was an Aston Martin shooting brake. Which basically kind of looked like the bread fan, didn't it?
If James Bond had children, which undoubtedly he probably did, it would be James Bond's family wagon.
Right,
but
Radford
built the first GT40.
Wow.
Radford patented the hatchback and the reverse-facing seat. So Radford had this huge impact on the automotive world, but in a very unfortunate British way. It never really waved its own flag. So whenever you look at this archive picture of GT40, Ford owns it. And you look at John Lennon and his Radford, Mini own it. But the whole time it was Radford.
Wow, there you go. All right. So now,
by the way, we have a different attitude now. Just so you know, Lotus did nothing. No, they did. They helped.
So when you go to Lotus and you say, "I want to build a car," and they get psyched because you guys are involved, but then you say, "We have this ancillary brand too." How does that work? Is that a negotiation with them, or do they immediately embrace it?
Are we
up here in the Zagato Porsche, which is a coach builder version of a manufacturer production car, right? Is it a similar relationship? Were they apprehensive about it? Or?
Well, it depends how detailed you want to get, because ultimately Lotus is a corporate brand owned by Geely, owners of Volvo, and you're dealing with multiple layers of management, etc. And if you think about Lotus's 73-year history, how many times have they collaborated in a way that they built a car with a Lotus badge on that they didn't make? Lotus Ford Cortina, Lotus Talbot Sunbeam, and the last one was the Vauxhall Colton, the Lotus Colton. And that was over 30 years ago. So when you consider in their 73 years, they've only done it three times and they haven't done it for three decades, we kind of approached it in the, well, they're obviously going to say no. We know how that went.
Did they say no at first? Did they go no?
Do you know what they didn't? Do you know why as well? I'm not speaking on behalf of Lotus, but what I will say is there's a real resurgence around the Lotus brand right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they dropped the new Emira. They've taken thousands of orders. They've made a change to go electric, and the Avaya is absolutely remarkable. JB's bought one, by the way.
And Emira.
Oh, you bought both? It's arrogant.
I know. And a Radford.
And a Radford, yeah. So there's this kind of coolness about Lotus that is back again. And for us Brits, Lotus was always cool. So if you think about, you know, the big things that Colin Chapman did, the impact that guy had on the automotive world, and actually on the non-automotive world, it's remarkable. Like Beats headphones, Lotus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so I think they were a little bit apprehensive initially until they saw what Mark had come up with.
Right.
When Mark came up with the design of the car, or the initial designs, I think then it was like, oh, okay. Well, it still looks like a Lotus.
Real.
Yeah, this is real. It's not JV drawing it on the back of a cigarette.
Could you imagine if you were tasked with, I could picture you rolling out a load of crayons.
Yeah.
And a bit of paper going, guys, how's that?
Yeah. When I pitch a show, usually I put together a sizzle and maybe some words. Did you go in with anything, or did you just say, hey guys, we want to do this? They say yes, and you went back and you went, damn, now we have to actually come up with something.
Actually, yeah.
I think they kind of believed in us as well. I've done quite a bit with Lotus as well lately. I think they did believe in us, but of course there's a little bit of apprehension. But
what do they do? Like, you know, not having ever done this before, did they say, okay, guys, here's your budget, or we're going to give you an R&D budget or something? Did they give you money?
No, but if we could invoice Lotus, that'd be lovely.
No, so they give you nothing.
But they did share their engineering, and that was the key. You know, Lotus have created a reputation globally for building cars that handle like race cars.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize they do it for other brands.
Take the listeners through the process. You get the go-ahead to do this. You don't really get any money to design it, but you have the people yourselves, right? So you're putting your own money into this.
And there is a partnership in terms of they obviously produce the chassis. So
right, right.
The chassis are...
No, I understand it all gets to a car. Yeah. I just want to know like how it actually got put together. You found this guy in Laguna Beach. You guys designed this amazing looking car, right? Then do you go back in with those designs and go, here's what we want to make?
Yeah, the design process, like I think with any car, was an ever-moving subject of which Lotus were involved in on a daily basis.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
The design stage, and we went to and from design. You know, I look at the first render of the car. It's so different to the car that we produce now. And in between there's been clay models and clay models and another clay model and another pass on the clay model. And then, you know, even we made changes, you know, what, 6 weeks before the reveal?
Yeah.
And they were significant.
Yeah, which is really common. I mean, I know they did that with the Boxster, the Carrera GT. Grant Larson did the same thing. They were shaving things up the night before premiered
there's
the
this
Carrera
kind of,
GT.
The thing is, because, I mean, I'm fascinated by social history. I love history stories. I'm a nerd deep down. And there's something about Lotus history, particularly Colin Chapman's history, which had this kind of maverick, have a go, roll up your sleeves, can do attitude, that a company like Lotus is still nimble enough to be reactive. You know, if we work with, and I won't name any names, but there's some big corporate entities that,
right.
Can you imagine the management process of saying,
is it
hey,
Lay's
we
potato
wanna,
chips?
We want to change the wheel. I mean, it might set off a chain reaction, which makes it impossible. But Lotus were short, small, nimble, sober Radford, and between us, we built something cool.
And we chose the Type 62. We didn't really know so much about it initially. Yeah, exactly. But we didn't know so much about it. But over time, over the last sort of year, we've learned so much about this car. And obviously, there are only two built. One's in Japan, and the other one is actually in California, just outside LA, which is madness, of the original two.
Wow.
But also, there's been so much information of where these cars have traveled around the world, where they've raced. And I know one of the guys that used to race one of them. He's a good friend of mine, and I never knew he raced it until we announced what we're doing and that we're building a new Type 62. So it's so exciting hearing all these stories about the original, and that also changed our ideas about the car and how we ended up developing this car. For example, the rear winglets, the rear ducktails on the car. You know, they weren't
originally on
the original Type 62.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
they were added.
It is worth mentioning, though, that we chose the Type 62 before knowing it was in LA.
Yeah.
So we chose that car, set about a design process to capture the design DNA of it, And it was weeks later, we were like, right, let's go and find the originals. And it was like 30 minutes from your house.
Yeah, mad.
And the designer was also in LA. Martin Wade, head of design for Lotus for 10 years.
What are the chances?
I love this story.
I love the timing.
Let's sell an ad. Who has a good accident story for Policy Genius? This is real insurance stories.
You're talking to a professional racing driver.
With Ant. Ant, go ahead. Tell us about some crash or mishap you've had.
Okay, I have two crash stories. Firstly, because we're on Lotus, I owned a Lotus Elise. I used to be a police officer. I finished a late shift in North London one evening. Was driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning. On a freeway, two lane carriageway with no street lights, in the slow lane, probably doing 70, and there was a milk float with no lights on, taking a shortcut.
What is a milk float?
You know, like a little milk delivery thing, does 7 miles an hour.
A milk truck.
A milk truck?
Yeah.
We call it a milk float. Don't know why.
And they were electric.
They were electric milk floats.
Back in the 80s.
Wearing their lace-up trainers,
So I'm doing 70, he's doing seven. And I must have seen it with about 5 meters to go. Swerved and barrel rolled it along the center reservation. Got cut out by the fire brigade. But probably my least favorite story is I raced at Silverstone in a celebrity race at the Silverstone Classic.
Why were you in that race? Were you the owner of the car? Okay.
I rolled the car with nobody near me in the same race Brian Johnson from AC/DC rolled. And the next day the headline said rock and rollers with a picture of us upside down, and it wasn't my car.
Wow.
Whoops.
Well, if you've been in a milk float accident, you need Policy Genius Insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare home and auto insurance in one place. They can help you find home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. They've saved customers an average of $1,250 per year over what they were paying for home and auto insurance. They've saved new customers an average of $435 per year on their auto insurance and $350 on their home insurance. All you have to do is go to policygenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Policy Genius will take it from there. Go to policygenius.com, head there right now, and watch out if you're driving a milk float around Ant.
Could you do me a favor? If I was to tonight around 10 o'clock,
yes.
If I put you on speakerphone, could you read that to me again?
Yeah, sure. Why?
I've only had...
Help me get back to sleep.
Have you not been on a podcast before?
I've only had one incident. And that was,
shut up! I've seen multiple instances of you crashing into tire walls and
no, but
shit
one
going
serious
wrong.
One. That was Monaco 2003.
Talk me through it.
Came out of the tunnel. That tunnel that a Formula One car can supposedly hang upside down with all the downforce it has. Drive on the ceiling. I wasn't upside down because that would have been a bit silly. I came out of the tunnel, locked the rears, 183 miles an hour. Lost the rear, hit the wall on the left, and then went with no brakes, obviously, because the tires went on it. Hit the other tire barrier at 33G.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's quite a lot.
Did you get injured?
I was knocked out.
You were unconscious?
Yeah, I was knocked
out. Can we do that again?
Yeah. Well, be unconscious again.
Yeah. We're going to do that tonight
There's
on
moments.
The call.
There's moments.
We'll knock him out, and I'll read my ads.
Is that the worst question?
Yeah, by far. And they actually... I woke up with all the marshals around me, which is the weirdest thing. And then the doctor was there, Dr. Sid Watkins, late Dr. Sid Watkins.
I do know of Sid.
Yeah,
a legend.
He was a legend. And he had cut up my suit and they'd stuck all these needles in me, adrenaline and all sorts. And I looked at him and he said, "Where does it hurt?" I said, "My right arm." He went, "Really?" I went, "No, my left arm." He went, "Are you sure?" I went, "No, my legs." And I just started laughing. I don't know what they pumped into me, but it was laughing gas, basically, and I just ended up just laughing.
I think the answer should be, where does it hurt? My ego.
Exactly.
What are you doing, Jensen? What are you doing up at the racing go-kart track all the time? I keep hearing you're up there, and we keep missing each other. Is that you, or is that your kids?
No, it's my kids, too. I mean, it'd be impressive, but no, it's...
I think what he's saying is a jab, is saying that you're basically a child in a man's body.
No, I get it. They're like, Jensen Button's going to be here. They want to know if you want to come up, and my kids were doing it quite a bit. Is he racing? I don't want them racing against Jensen Button.
I do drive quite a lot up there with sort of 17, 18-year-olds shifter cuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's unbelievably tough physically.
It is.
I can just about hang on to like the top kids here in the States. At 41, it's not too bad. I took Ant out once karting. It's like Donkey Kong racing against Super Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some weight not on his side.
What are you trying to say?
But you had fun, right?
It's kind of funny, actually, because you remember that pro driver for Lamborghini came up to us at Quail at the weekend. So last time I went go-karting with Jensen, this professional Lamborghini drivers in there. And I was coming in to pull into the pits and I just felt this massive shunt and this guy hit me on the back of my car, turned in the air and hit the bale of hay backwards.
Oh my God.
And then he came up to me at Quail, goes, "Oh, you remember me? You ran me off the track." I was like, "No, it's your fault."
As he punches him in the face.
So, Jensen, are there kids that have beat you on that track?
Well, I mean, these are the best guys in the country.
Oh, no, you see, he's put a caveat there.
Never they are.
And the answer is yes. 17 years old.
What? They should beat me in a go-kart. They've driven a go-kart since they were 8.
That's
until 17.
That's a pretty amazing day, though. Imagine being 17 and you're beating Jensen Button.
It's more embarrassing if I beat them.
No, yeah. There's no 17-year-old on the planet that knows who Jensen Button is.
You know, you got to remember, they're a wannabe, whereas I'm a has-been.
Exactly. They're like, "Dad,
who's that old dude?
Really old dude called Jensen Button." And the granddad's like, exactly.
"What's the name of the teacher up there? It's Ray."
Oh, I haven't got a clue.
Oh, his track. I thought
I go with a kid called Nicky Hayes, who is unbelievably good. He's racing in GT3 cars this year, which is great for him. But fantastic talent. He's like the best driver in the world.
James Marsden.
I can just about hang on to him.
He's the other guy. Well, hey, let's talk about this car because I have way more questions. How many are we making? 62.
Yes,
62 cars. Are you each getting one?
Well, we are, but not of the 62.
So we're making a TV show first and foremost. So on the show, we're actually building two cars. One car, so we start with the same platform, Exige, and then we just allow our coach-built creativity to get away with us.
Where are we going to see the show?
On Discovery Plus.
Okay.
So Jensen...
And they're doing a series about this car.
We are not allowed to say any more than that.
Really?
I mean,
why?
He's probably said way too much.
Because off the record, I'm going to tell you something... After this podcast, okay. When all the microphones are off, and you're going to go, "Oh my God, that's so cool.
Why didn't we talk about that on the podcast?"
Yeah, you don't know my history of not keeping secrets, do you?
In that case, we are no longer going to say anything.
But We are in the business of promotion. You can tell us a little about the series, right?
All we can say is that the rise of Radford, the construction of the Type 62-2 Lotus, is documented in a television show that will feature on Discovery Plus.
That's awesome. That How many beautiful. Episodes? 8?
Again, that's all we can say.
What happens in that last episode?
What are we going to get waterboarded next?
We want awards.
All right, so tell me about the car. You guys are getting prototype versions, I would guess.
So basically, there'll be the two show cars, and then there'll probably be two or three other prototypes that we build because we need to do all sorts of testing.
Right,
you know, with temperatures and what have you. Thousands and thousands of miles, circuit. In the mountains, picking up your groceries. We need to do everything because we have tested, but there's still so much more to do.
Is that your job, Jensen?
Yeah.
Are you?
So
you're
busy.
I've decided.
There's a lady within the company called Tegan who's got many world records of going in a straight line really fast. I think 301 miles an hour she's done on the salt flats.
Wow, which
is insane.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not going to do the straight line testing. She's going to do all of that. Obviously, we have all of the the CFD and all of the wind tunnel information that we will do. We haven't done yet. But she's going to do the straight line testing because she's braver than I am.
Is it like Ford versus Ferrari where you take out all the electrical equipment and then put the toilet paper on it and just we're going to do it Jensen's way?
We're a little bit more advanced than that. We have all
more
the
advanced.
Sensors. We have all
I
the
mean,
sensors.
Not that much more advanced.
We have all the sensors, so we build up slowly the speed and you just understand the amount of downforce, if there's any lift. There shouldn't be any lift because
it's all been done. Do you guys make money on something like this? Did you invest your own money in it? Or is this just fun?
No, we spend all of our money on kids. Podcast advertising.
And kids.
And kids.
Left
yeah, this is
and,
a,
and Ra- is Ra- this
Radford is a proper business.
It's a proper business. Yeah. And now you're a part of that proper business.
Of course we are.
So now there are going to be more Radford cars, I would guess. Is this part of your announcement?
Okay, what we can say is that we have, to sign a contract with an OEM, like Lotus is amazing, but we have already signed ink to paper last year with another OEM. And I'll give you a tidbit. It's not a sports car.
Wow.
See, Spike almost fell off his chair then.
Yes. I'm thinking about minis. I'm thinking about minis. And
now, mini would be an obvious choice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's a nice choice.
Yeah. It would be an obvious choice.
Wow. There's some news.
But what we'll say is about the two cars on the show is that although we start off with the same platform, Exige, and we go about this design journey, one car is informed by Jensen. One car is informed by me and the team. So we actually end up starting with the same car, but ending up with two very, very different cars. And that's the essence of coach building, is that it's customer led. So a car that Jensen wants isn't necessarily the same car that you want. Okay. I mean, for example, you have some style and class. Jensen doesn't.
Why does he do
this?
I
love my toothpaste color car.
Yeah, Land Rover the color of Colgate.
Did you know when I pulled up, we all have Defenders. When I pulled up, I went to your Defender first. I
know, but people do that.
Mint it's like, green wrap.
But why were you laughing?
But look at yours.
Because it was dented. That's all. Because it had a piece of a scrape.
Shall
in the
I
side.
Tell you what happened there?
But I like that. That's what defenders are supposed to be used
my
for.
My stepmom drove the car. What am I saying? My mother-in-law. Sorry. That was a Freudian.
You inherited a mum.
I know. I've just inherited a mum. My mother-in-law drove it the other day, and she reversed it into my 964. And as you can see, no damage on the defender.
Wait a second.
The 964 had a hole
That's
in the back
terrifying.
Of it.
Spike asked you a specific question about crashes, and you've had one recently.
I wasn't driving it.
Better story.
But my poor mother-in-law, she was devastated.
Wow.
But who was her insurer?
I parked my Porsche in the wrong place. It was her fault. I think she was with... Yeah.
With who?
With
who?
With
me?
Your insurance company, yeah.
With Policy
I think
Genius.
She might have been with them, yeah.
But weren't you devastated? You seem so happy about this.
It's
mother-in-law smashing two of your cars.
It's a car.
Is he really this nice?
Well, I love her to bits. She's such an amazing woman. And she gave me my missus, so there you go.
Well, exactly.
She can do what she wants.
She's paid her debt.
I'm just not going to put her in a Radford. It's not
my
part
God,
of Radford.
Yeah, we should have a rule.
All right, I want to know why I love the car. I can't believe it's here. It's a beautiful thing.
Are you reading that?
Is it going? No, I'm not. I'm looking over some stats here. But if I look at you, I'm gonna get redirected. I have like ADHD. I'll just be like,
really? Doesn't show.
No, not at all. This car, how does it drive? Like, is this like a GT3 where it's a street legal race car? Is it more McLaren Senna that's really a street car that's really feels like a track car? Or is it a road car like a Bugatti Chiron that's just going to be fast but has beautiful on-the-road manners? What is it?
It's more of your Porsche GT3, I guess. The only thing it doesn't have is all the aggressive wings on it. So it's within the body design, if you like. So,
right.
like an old school sort of Le Mans car, but it has to be a car that drives well on the road because it's a road car. You know, most of the people aren't going to track it. Some people might, and that's where I come in. So it has to work well getting your groceries. You're not going to pick your kids up from school in it, but up in the canyons, it needs to handle well. But it also needs to work on the 405. And we all sit on the 405. It's the worst road in the world, right? But you're going to drive somewhere in it to get to the mountains or to get to a circuit. So it needs to work in every condition, every scenario. And every scenario, it shouldn't be a stressful situation. You should be smiling when you're driving this car.
Right,
so
right.
405 in traffic, you should be smiling because you're sat in a Radford Type 62 too.
And what would you compare it to anything that's on the road right now as far as like the drive experience? Does it feel?
Well, this is the thing. It's so different because it's so lightweight.
Right.
You know, a GT3 is a fantastic car. I'm not going to take anything away from that car, but it is quite a heavy car now. It's the lightweight version Porsche, but it's still a heavy car, whereas this is 2,200 pounds.
Correct.
And it still has, you know, if this had 300 horsepower,
I know, right? If you had bigger breakfast,
ask him some more questions. Who made this engine?
You had a bigger breakfast.
If this had 300 horsepower, it'd be a good power to weight ratio, but it's up to, can I say?
Yeah, say.
It's up to 600 horsepower in the JPS car. So
really?
It's an unbelievable amount of power, you know, power
See,
to weight
here,
ratio.
See, here I had 500 horsepower, 600 horsepower.
Yeah.
The one 3.5
liter V6 from Toyota.
Yeah,
correct?
The Gold Leaf
That's
here
still there.
Is 500 horsepower. The JPS, which is more track, if you like, so it will be a little stiffer, is more track. And it's unbelievable amount of power. You don't need 600 horsepower, but somebody
yeah,
is going to want it.
Yeah, you do. Jensen does not represent Radford in that statement. I got to call you out on one thing, though. 405 is not the worst road on the planet. It's got to be the M25.
It's smooth, though, but the M25 is smoother.
No!
The 405 through LA is an awful experience. It's seven lanes across with potholes
no,
and everybody...
jumps on the 405.
There's jumps. You catch air. I caught air in that Zagato I drove here today, because you're looking down. There is.
Yeah.
There's two jumps right around Wilshire Boulevard.
I don't... Yeah.
We should discover what's the worst freeway. Actually, we should never. That's an awful idea.
We know what it is. It's the 405.
LA's pretty crappy. Hey, let's do another ad, shall we? Do you guys like collectingcars.com? They're a British company. They're a global car company. Chris Harris. Do you know who Chris Harris is?
I do know Chris.
Well, they have collectingcars.com, and they have, you know, they're the better version of a bring a trailer, let's say.
You can't do an ad for a company and compare them to another company.
Should I not say that?
In America,
no,
you can.
I think you
do
should
you want me to edit that out?
No, don't edit it, because this should be
I
authentic.
I can edit it out. I can edit anything out.
No,
I can
America,
edit
you
out
can.
Right now.
Just explain how bad the other one is. And
I love Bring a Trailer, but I also like collecting cars.
Yes. It would be like saying we're just not as bad as the other bad one.
I'll tell you a story about collecting cars after you've finished.
No, go ahead. Piece. You can do it now. They don't care.
So I am selling a car on Collecting Cars.
Oh, you are? There you go.
I'm so going to sell that car. Give us the stats.
Come on.
So it's...
you got to do it at car sales.
So it's a Porsche 964 Turbo S.
Is this the one that just got hit?
No. That's another one. What? But this one's in the UK. Yep. It's right-hand drive. It's one of 12 right-hand drive Turbo S X88 pack cars.
Wow.
Originally, it was Sultan of Brunei's. And now I've owned it for about 5 or 6 years. And it's done around 19,000 miles. And this is a weapon. It's on Collecting Cars. If you want to check it out, it'll be there very soon.
How much is it?
Well, I don't know. It's an auction site.
Oh, is it? I'm so sorry. I have no idea.
It's an auction. Hopefully, it's going to be low.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Cars. I will give you $9 now. Can I start the bidding?
There are 12 of them in the world, and it's so sad to let go.
Why are you selling it?
It's right-hand drive. What am I going to do with a right-hand drive? I live here now. I can't.
It's really fun to drive right-hand drive here. I like doing that.
All Le Mans cars are right-hand drive, though. And you're a Le Mans driver.
When do you drive a Le Mans car on the road?
In France.
No, they're not. They're all left-hand drive. What are you talking about?
No, Le Mans cars are right-hand drive.
I raced at Le Mans and it was left-hand drive.
All GT40s were right-hand drive.
GT40s, yes. There have been cars since then that race at Le Mans. Le Mans.
There you go.
Le Mans is this weekend.
There's your collectingcars.com ahead. Why sell your car anywhere else? No ordinary auction. No ordinary cars. Jensen Button sells his cars there.
And Harris actually drove it for the advert for it.
This is great. Yeah. And it's an auction ad. They, you know, auction cars. It's daily auctions. People don't want to wait for these events.
He's off again. It's no reserve.
And it's no reserve.
Get bidding, guys.
Yeah, and they have a global audience of people. They're not just the United States. And I do love Bring a Trailer. And it's like late night shows.
Yeah,
you
what
know?
He's done is he's left the Fallon, door open. He's Fallon, left the door open for Bring a Trailer dollars.
He likes Kimmel. I know all the guys. I don't care. I love my sponsors. But
this, what you're saying, this wasn't set up.
I know, I'm here.
Yeah.
I believe you.
We only have a few minutes left, gentlemen. Even though I could
stay
here
all day. Take
the dressing
gown off and get going. Let's do it.
So it's got a blue interior and
let's get
split
into the
rims.
Interview.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, what haven't we covered? This is your show. I want you to be happy.
So
what have we not covered
yet? We're producing 62 cars. And people probably don't know, actually, because we haven't explained it, but this is an aluminum tub. This car is aluminum. So you step into the car. But the rest of the car, basically the whole body is carbon fiber.
Wow.
Every
the wheels
single panel.
Are carbon fiber. The brakes are carbon.
And that's how we get the weight down.
Exactly.
We are excessively carbon focused.
Wow.
So basically, yeah, the rear subframe is also by Radford.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sourced suspension, everything to do with this car. It's different to a Lotus.
Yeah, new wishbones, new uprights, new hubs, new wheels, new subframe on the rear. It's longer than an Exige. It's wider than an Exige. It's lower, 40 mil lower. A lot of engineering has gone in partnership with Lotus. You know, they've partnered with us because of their reputation for making great handling cars. And we've taken that kind of essence of what it takes to make a lightweight road car, a Lotus car, and we've made it really pretty.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. And I've driven it naked. A lot.
You keep saying that.
I know, I do.
It's playing the wrong way.
I know. Yeah. But anyway, so I have driven it a lot naked on our test track. We've got a test track.
Yeah, yeah.
Called Radford Racing School. So
when are you coming to Phoenix?
Anytime.
Let's
I
go
would
now.
Love to,
we're
I,
at an
I really want to drive this thing. It's gorgeous. You know, I love street legal race cars. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
It's not. It's not street. It's the other
That's
way
an
around.
Ice cream.
It's a road car for the track.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But I can put a license plate on it, and I can have some fun in this car. What was the biggest challenge in creating a new car?
I'm going to answer that because I think Mark had the biggest job here. Mark's the designer, Mark Stubbs. And you know, one thing you do when you partner with somebody like Lotus, you have to capture the essence of Lotus. And you know, you're a car guy, so you know you could recognize a silhouette of a car or a car from a distance. So if we were to take the badge off it and ask 1,000 people who made that car, if 1,000 people say it's obviously a Lotus, then Mark's done his job right. And then he has to tread the fine balance. It has to feel like something that Colin Chapman would do today, mm-hmm. but also Harold Radford would do today. Mm-hmm. But it also needs to be independent. It can't just be a Lotus. It has to be a Radford Lotus. So it's this really fine line, which is why the design process, which you will see on the show, is this kind of ebb and flow of trying to find the perfect balance. And it's so amazing to work on the project was one thing, but to reveal the car to the public and then to sit back and see the feedback, which has been overwhelming, you know, we really did it.
And my job is the easiest in the world. Because
right pedal.
No, it is, because I get to work with these guys at Radford who are exceptional at what they do, and I get to work with Lotus, who have built this fantastic, you know, chassis tub. So for me, it's all fun. I mean, there are some long days of testing things and some not so exciting things, but most of the time, it's just awesome. I get to drive this car on track.
Yeah, and there's a really cool story about the history of Radford. So as we alluded to earlier, Radford actually coach-built the first ever GT40. And of course, every American knows GT40. You know, Ford v Ferrari's made that more accessible again. But go back to the time where Ford were considering a Le Mans-winning race car. They actually received a pitch from Lotus. So the then-designer, Ron Hickman, same guy designed the Black & Decker Workmate, he penned the first Europa. And if you go on Google and find the Hickman Europa, and on the right-hand side in handwritten note, it says, pitch to Ford for the mid-engine sports car. But it was unsuccessful. So Lotus didn't get the gig. They gave the gig to Lola for the chassis, Radford for the body, and Ford provided the engine. So they had that, Lotus had that Hickman drawing, that original Europa drawing. And then Chapman said, you know, in his entrepreneurial way, well, we have to make this car, it's amazing. So they actually made the Europa first for the French market because of the relationship with Renault.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it did well and it spilled out to America and it was hugely unsuccessful here. So of all the Lotus that we could choose, it's a great way for us to A, choose a car that was unsuccessful in America, but B, lean into the GT40 story. And if you look at our car, there's some obvious GT40
yeah,
element,
there is,
right?
There is, for sure.
The door openings is the obvious one. So, you know, what Mark's really done is he's put himself in the mindset of being the custodian of a historic brand. And in that, he has told historic stories in a design concept. So, you know, what I'm most excited about is we live in a passionate sector and we've got some really cool car fans all over the world that are going to sit down and they're going to enjoy that. They're going to know the reason that the door shuts like that and the A-pillars like this and the rear lights like that. It's not by accident. It's by really, really understanding and knowing our subject.
There you go. Did I see Renee Zellweger at the opening of this thing? Are you guys going out?
Here we go. It was only a matter of time. I've just done a live TV show.
But she was there, right? How are you meeting movie stars? How a guy help the guys in the car world with meeting movie stars?
Do you want to take it back onto the car?
I've just done 2 days of press. So I've just literally before I left my house at 5 o'clock this morning, yeah. And I've just done a live breakfast show.
Yes.
And thinking it's going to be a show about my new show.
Yeah.
And it was all about how long have you been dating Renee Zellweger?
Well, I have.
You don't fall into
I have
that
an
trap.
Interest, a personal interest in this because we had her in B Movie. She was the star of B Movie that we wrote.
Oh, she was a voice.
She was Vanessa, yeah. And I would love
to. Can you do the voice?
I no.
Try.
She did it so well. I can do Jerry's voice. I'm a bee flying around. But I really want to do B Movie 2, and I would need her for that. So can I call you?
Should we ask her?
You ask her.
No, you ask her.
I don't have her phone number.
But
anyways, I just thought it was exciting. Whenever I see someone from the car world kind of reaching up and getting with a movie star, it's impressive, man.
Or is it a movie star?
It's a compliment.
I'm
just giving
guy.
You a compliment.
When does this episode go out?
When do you want it to go out? We can put it out right now.
I'd like it to go out soon because on Monday,
yes.
The 23rd of August,
yes.
My first episode of Celebrity IOU Joyride, a car show, is with Renee Zellweger.
Ah, there you go.
And that's how we met.
Well, we are going to put this show in on the 25th, so we will promote your show.
Perfect.
It's all streaming now.
Come on, man.
It's all streaming.
You want the B-movie too? You have to do it.
Deal. I'll give you some social media. Gentlemen, very nice to meet you. Congratulations on the massive success. I mean, I think in some ways this Radford car overshadowed Monterey Car Week entirely. The amount of press you guys
It was known
had.
As Radford Car Week based at Monterey.
Radford Car Week. You guys had a big presence at the Quill. I'm looking at the car now. It's absolutely delicious. Are there still cars available to buy?
There are a few, but before we got to Quill.
How do you buy it? How do you get it?
We sold half. Well, you sit down with us in a minute and we'll sell you one.
But where do you go? What's the destination? Is there a website? Do we have to call Renee Zellweger? How does it work?
We take Zagato bodied Porsches part exchange.
Yeah, we can.
No, it's a simple process. So we have a first stage process. You basically pay $1,000 deposit, which is refundable just to put yourself on the list.
Okay.
Then once that registers interest, somebody reaches out from the Radford team. Everything that Radford does is one-on-one, face-to-face, client v. client.
Co-creating.
It's co-creating. Yeah. So we have a number of people in the business that their sole job is to take you through from the start to the finish, because your car's going to be unique. It's going to be coachable.
Right, right.
And then once you're sort of locked in and it's a car that you know you want, you then put down a chunky deposit and then the process starts. And we've sold over half already.
What's the site? RadfordMotors.com? Radford.com?
This sounds awful, but I don't actually know.
Radford.co.
Radford.co.
Co, yeah.
There you go. And,
is it really?
Yeah, it's Radford.co.
You know what I would guess? This car is going to be very, very valuable because it's going to be the first of many. Gentlemen, a pleasure. This was
fun.
You.
Thank you very much.
Next time we'll do it in a real studio. Now you can eat your chips, Ant.
It's more fun.
Yeah, eat as many chips as you want right
now. Can I have your dressing gown now?
Yes.
By the way, it's silk with a dragon on the back.
Yes, there you go.
If I get the pipe.
We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio with Jerry Seinfeld.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.